The world is remembering this week, especially Western democracies, what is so far the most significant achievement yet in the war against terrorism. It happened a year ago. On May 2, 2011, Osama bin Laden, the leader of the Al-Qaeda, was killed in Pakistan. And following that killing, I have often found my hair standing on end when I listened to his followers describe him as a very holy man. Sabi ng mga tagasunod niya, siya ay napakabanal na tao. Now, that is to subject the word holy to its most abused understanding. That's not definitely a character for a man who kills thousands of innocents for his religious agenda. But what I will grant him is religious zeal. Religious zeal that borders on fanaticism. But you see, here is another common mistake. To think of zeal as such, as the mark of holiness and maturity, is often a mistake. We want Christians, of course, to be zealous, but zeal can be immature. In fact, we can say that of many other Christian graces. We want those graces for Christians, but for most of those graces, they can have their immature version. And we will see this today on a particular grace that can also be mistaken for maturity. But as I will show, not always. What could be a more spiritual grace than the grace of love? Ano pa ba ang mas spiritual na biyaya kaysa sa biyaya ng pag-ibig? Lahat ng mga tunay na mananampalataya dapat mayroong biyaya ng pag-ibig. But there can be an exercise of love that is immature, and there is a challenge of mature love. And we are in a series of expositions of that portion of Scripture where we see Paul portraying maturity in his dealing with the Corinthians. We are dealing with 2 Corinthians chapters 10 to 13 and explained why this is so different from the first 9 chapters as far as tone and language are concerned, because Paul is addressing that part of the church which has remained unrepentant. Unfortunately, many of them were in positions of leadership. Ang kinakausap ni Pablo sa huling bahagi ng ikalawang Korinto ay yung bahagi ng iglesia na hindi nagsisi matapos ang kanilang konfrontasyon. Ngunit itong mga hindi nagsising ito, bagamat nasa minorya, marami sa kanila ay nasa liderato ng iglesia. Kung kaya't makikita natin na naging matalas ang mga pananalita ni Apostol Pablo. At dito sa bahagi na ating pinag-aaralan ay pinapakita ni Pablo ang tamang pagsasaalang-alang ng ministeryo. There is a mature consideration of the ministry. I remind you of some of the points that Paul has already made, that a mature ministry is moved by godly jealousy for the claims of Christ. Apostle Paul is using the figure of the church being the bride, and he as minister acting as father of the bride, preparing the bride for the groom, who in this case is Christ. And a mature ministry will have that godly jealousy to keep the church pure as far as doctrine is concerned. We also learned that a mature assessment of ministry takes into prior account its proclamation of Jesus. Anong masasabi natin sa ministeryo na may maturidad? Huwag niyong timbangin muna kung palakaibigan, palabiro, at mahusay sa pananalita. Ang unang isinasaalang-alay ang kanyang pangangaral kay Jesucristo at kung paanong siyang nakakabahagi ng kaalaman ng salita ng Diyos. And then, we learned last week that mature evaluation of the ministry adopts a balanced position on final support. So those are the things that Paul so far has been sharing concerning a mature assessment of ministry. We saw that Apostle Paul refused to receive anything from the Corinthians because they were not mature for it. Now, we ask the question, what lies behind all these calculated steps of Paul, this policy in regard to his ministry to the Corinthian church? We have a simple text this afternoon. Turn to 2 Corinthians 11, 10, and 11. Paul is explaining why he adopted his policy. 2 Corinthians 11, 10, and 11. As the truth of Christ is in me, This boasting of mine will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you, God knows I do. So why has Paul adopted such a policy of not accepting financial support from the Corinthians? Now that Paul puts this in question form suggests that this is one of the unkind charges of his opponents. Inaakusahan siya ng kanyang mga kalaban sa Korinto na wala siyang motibo ng pag-ibig. Hindi siya inuudyukan ng pag-ibig para sa mga taga-Korinto. Paano ito sasagutin ni Apostol Pablo? Paul puts his answer in the simplest form possible. Is it because I do not love you? That's the question. That's probably the accusation against him. His answer, very simple. God knows. The words I do are not even in the original. It's just God knows. That's enough for me. I have a simple message. The mature motive of love is primarily accountable to God. Ang motibo ng pag-ibig na may maturidad ay pangunahing sinasagot sa Diyos. Pinananagutan sa Diyos. The mature motive of love is primarily accountable to God. Now, in describing this as mature motive of love, I am suggesting that yes, there can be an immature way, an immature motive as far as love is concerned. Perfect example, there are parents who indulge their children. And no doubt, many of them out of love for their children. But is that mature? So may mga magulang na pinapalayaw ang kanilang mga anak. At walang duda na marami sa kanila ay totoong nagmamahal sa kanilang mga anak. Ngunit, ang pagmamahal bang yun ay may maturidad? Hindi kung tayo ay babatay sa kasulatan. Sapagkat sa kasulatan ay natututuhan natin ang tunay na pag-ibig na may maturidad ay gumagamit ng pagtuturo, disiplina. So even though they are motivated by love, it is immature love. And that shows that love can be immature. And what we want is mature love. So as to love for the brethren, Paul here is being charged of not loving. But Paul knows better. And for him, It is enough that God knows. And by doing this, Paul exemplifies to us what mature love is when it is oriented to God and not what others say. 2 points about mature love. First, mature love is willing to serve even without appreciation. Ang pag-ibig na may maturidad ay maglilingkod kahit walang pagpapahalaga ang pinaglilingkuran. Mature love is willing to serve even without appreciation. And secondly, mature love is content to rest upon divine approbation. Ang pag-ibig na may maturidad ay aasa lang sa pagtanggap ng Panginoon. So these are tests of whether our love is mature enough. The first test is mature love is willing to serve even without appreciation. Now, for the average Christian who had to face what Paul faced and encountered in the church in Corinth, that Christian would have long ago given up. Kung ang hinarap ni Pablo sa Corinto ay haharapin ng pangkaraniwang Kristiyano ngayon, ay baka noon pa siya bumigay. Tinalikuran na niya itong mga taga-Korinto. When I reconstructed what happened between 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, I would remind you that between these two letters, there was a painful visit that Apostle Paul cited in 2 Corinthians 2:1. After na magsulat siya ng unang Korinto, dumalaw siya sa Korinto at nagkaroon ng masakit na encounter ng pagkakonfrontasyon. It turned into a severe encounter. He then wrote a letter which no longer exists. This is neither 1 nor 2 Corinthians. But he called this letter a severe letter. He sent this through Titus. And from that news of Titus, while he was elated that there were those, the majority in fact repented, yet those in leadership, many of those in leadership, did not repent. Now, a lesser personality, as I've said, would have long ago given up on Corinth as a thankless ministry. not to be endured. Kung kayo kaya ang nandoon, sinaktan na kayo ng mga taong ito at ngayon ay patuloy pa rin lumalaban, baka ano pang gagawin ko riyan para paglingkuran, meron naman akong ibang mapupuntahan. But this is where the motive of love that governed Paul is a model to us of maturity in serving the brethren. It teaches us this, that love can transcend the power of appreciation and endure the lack of it in those we serve. Kayang lampasan ng pag-ibig ang kapangyarihan ng pagpapahalaga. At kahit wala ito, ay meron tayong hangarin na maglingkod. Now let's face it, we respond to appreciation, do we not? Whether that appreciation is expression of gratitude, commendation, or even compensation for work done. I remember after a Reformation conference, I think a year ago, where I spoke on sola scriptura in San Pablo. On the way home, I read this note from the church, and it says, "Thank God for sola Espinosa." I like that. It borders on flattery, but we respond to expressions of appreciation. It's powerful. There are times when we are enduring a lot of things, and then a word of appreciation is like a cold shower that is pleasant. I do not believe that Paul was so unnatural that he did not respond to appreciation. We know, in fact, that he did. He already mentioned the Macedonian churches who supported him even without his active service. And he was appreciative of that support. We know of one such Macedonian church, Philippi. And the letter to the Philippians, as you remember our long series, is one long thank you note to the church in Philippi. So Paul was responsive to appreciation. In fact, part of being human, let alone Christian, is to have sensitivity, to be ready and be expressive of our appreciation. In fact, later in this letter that we will pass through, chapter 12, verse 11, Paul said this, "I ought to have been commended by you." So Paul sees this as a duty, an ought. Not only that, Paul was honest enough to expect it. So there's nothing wrong expecting appreciation. There's nothing wrong seeking appreciation because this is part of the human constitution. The great psychologist, philosopher William James said the deepest principle of human nature is the craving to be appreciated. Now I agree with that only up to a point. It is a deep craving. But I believe that there is a deeper principle that transcends even appreciation. And that is love. Kung meron tayong pag-ibig at pag-ibig ang umuudyok sa atin, while expecting commendation but none was given, did that stop Paul from serving the Corinthian brethren? No. The immature is often disappointed to the point of giving up when no appreciation is received. And this is what sets apart mature love from the immature. Mature love is driven to serve, not by appreciative response, but by love itself. Yung paglilingkod na udyok ng pag-ibig ay hindi dahil sa pagpapahalagang tugon ng pinaglilingkuran, kundi ang pag-ibig mismo ang nag-uudyok sa atin. I've used this illustration before that during the medieval period, the way medicine was practiced was the idea that people get sick because of the imbalance of blood fluids and the imbalance of four types of fluids that I will not go into. Until a Christian scientist, William Harvey, scientifically proved and published in 1628 that blood is one-directional in traffic. Hindi siya nagbabanggaan mula sa puso hanggang sa pag-circulate sa buong katawan. It's just one direction. Let love be the blood of our graces. One direction. Not hindered by lack of appreciation. Not hindered by expectation of response. Now the challenge to us is love enough to the point of serving in the spirit of free of charge. Ayan ang pinapaliwanag dito ni Apostol Pablo. Bakit ito ang ginawa niyang patakaran sa Corinto? Because of love. Now there are certain services of course that cannot be sustained unless there is due charge and compensation. If you have a legitimate business, whether your commodity is service or goods, you just cannot give away free of charge in the name of love. There are certain things in order to be self-sustaining, there are charges. But my point is the spirit. We must serve in the spirit that is free of charge. This is part of Paul's reluctant boasting. That his service to Corinth has been both spiritually and in fact literally free of charge. In contrast with the super apostles who boasted of their price tags, Paul had none. He did it out of pure love. He did not proportion his willingness and quality of service to appreciative response or lack of it. He compared this in a later passage again of this section, 12, 14, and 15. I seek not what is yours, but you. For children are not obligated to save up for the parents, but parents for their children. I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less? Ayun ang pag-ibig daw ng magulang. Doon sa mga nagsipagtapos sa inyong kamakailan, congratulations and I'm sorry I wasn't there, but pagkatapos ninyong magtapos, binigyan ba kayo ng resibo ng inyong magulang, hetong lahat ng nagastos ko sa iyong pag-aaral? Wala, walang ganoon. Ganoon ang pag-ibig na hindi naghahanap ng kapalit. At ganoon ang inaasahan na pag-ibig ng mga Kristiyano na may maturidad. Mature love is willing to serve in the spirit of free of charge. Last month, one of the evangelical stalwarts of the world died, Charles Colson, at the age of 80. Before he was converted, he was called Watergate's hatchet man, meaning the man who did a dirty job for President Nixon. And when the Watergate scandal unraveled, the first person to serve time in prison was Charles Colson. And there, humiliated, he had his conversion experience. And from then on, he was a man who served out of love. He served and he organized prison fellowship, which is the largest organized ministry to prisoners in the world. And he did it out of love. Now that's serving in the spirit that is free of charge. Where are we doing that? That's mature love. Mature love is willing to serve even without appreciation. And secondly, mature love is content to rest upon divine approbation. Ang pag-ibig na may maturidad ay kontento na umasa sa pagtanggap ng Panginoon. To the implied challenge to his motive, put in question form, because I do not love you, that's the charge of the opponents, Paul's simple answer, as I've said, is God knows. To Paul, this is enough. But that reminds us of something sobering. God knows our inner motives, and he especially notes the motive of Christian love. Alam ng Diyos ang ating mga panloob na motibo. At lalo na't kanyang pinapansin ang pinapahalaga ng motibo ng pag-ibig. There are times when our motive will be challenged, misunderstood, and unfairly imputed upon. In the face of that, the immature will tend to be disheartened and may turn his back to those he serves. In the case of Paul, it's not just 2 Corinthians. There are several instances of this in his ministry. And his common appeal is, God knows. Listen to 1 Corinthians 4:3 and 4. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. See, in other words, even if you accuse me unfairly, Paul is saying, my conscience rests quietly because I leave it to God. Let God judge me. And he follows this up with these words, verse 5, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. When he says things hidden in darkness, he's not referring to sin. He is referring to motives, meaning those motives that in the eyes of people are in darkness. They don't know it. Oftentimes, they impute unfairly, they criticize, but Paul can rest content in the thought that God sees. What you don't see, God knows. Or consider the touching words of the psalmist, Psalm 56, 8. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? So his tossings, most probably alone on his bed when he carried upon himself the burden of the nation, of the community. And people don't see that. But the psalmist could say, you know it. And you consider even the secret tears as treasures that you keep in your bottle. So God knows those inner motives. Another great advance in medicine was the discovery of germs and microbes as the common cause of diseases. And that would not have been known without the microscope, that powerful instrument that can look at what the naked eye cannot see. Well, as far as our motives are concerned, the naked eye of men cannot see them. God does. And what a challenge this is to us. It means constantly review, rectify, and refresh your motive of love before God. So, tatlong R na verb, review, rectify, refresh your motive of love before God. Because if we believe that love is an essential motive, and we must believe that based on 1 Corinthians 13, where Apostle Paul said you can do the most extreme sacrifice, martyrdom. And yet without love, it is nothing. And as I often use the illustration, love is like a multiplier. When there is no love, no matter how big a number of service you put side by side with it, you multiply it with zero, it's zero as far as God is concerned. So that's how important the motive of love is. That is the reason why we need to review. Review as opposed to taking for granted. Love is such a motive that cannot be taken for granted. For love is one grace that is vulnerable to fluctuations. Hindi siya static. Hindi komot may pag-ibig kang motibo ngayon, ay yun na ang tuloy-tuloy na motibo. Napakadaling mapalitan ng motibo ng pag-ibig. And then we need to rectify. For there will be motives that feel like love, but is not Christian love. This is precisely the challenge to the maturity exhibited by Paul. Mature love is willing to be misunderstood initially. And that's what the immature is not willing. So he'd rather perpetuate the make-believe that everything is okay rather than confront. As long as the brother, the sister does not misunderstand him or her, that's immature. The mature love that Paul exhibits here is willing for this time to be misunderstood, to be charged, to be accused. But love sustains him. Open rebuke is better than secret love, Proverbs tells us. And that's often a test of the maturity of our love. Then refresh. Refresh, for love is a grace that must constantly be moistened from the dew of our communion with God. You don't refresh love by a formula of steps that once you go through, love is refreshed. No, love is refreshed by the dew of communion with God. This is the reason why the message is primarily accountable to God. And this is where you primarily refresh love in communion with God. And there can be no better way of refreshing the grace of love than finding its energy from the cross of Christ. There is no love more self-denying, more sacrificial, and for the sake of those for whom he died, than the love of Christ exhibited on the cross. And if you have not come to the love of Christ there on the cross, you do not know that love which saves. And I urge you to come to Christ now. But for the Christian, there on display on the cross is love at its most mature. Immature love is so easily animated by the good response. But you see, if you're animated by good response, that is also equivalent to suspending when there's no good response. Whereas love is self-sustaining by the grace of God. If the challenge comes from people and we are not content to respond as Paul does here with God knows, that love may be too man-oriented. That love may be stale. It may just be running from sheer inertia of the push and shove of relational stress and challenges, not sustained by primary accountability to God. Primary refreshing from God. And that is what you and I need. You want mature love? Derive it primarily from God through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper tonight, there's the opportunity. Refresh your thought of that love which animated the Lord Jesus going through the shame of the cross. And ask yourself, am I willing to go through misunderstanding, imputation, being charged, all because I know that God knows, animated by your being alone with God? That's where love matures. The last book written by C.S. Lewis's prolific pen was published posthumously. It's entitled Letters to Malcolm. Letters to Malcolm. Malcolm was an imaginary individual to whom he wrote his last thoughts. Now you would imagine that a scholar of C.S. Lewis's caliber would have probably finished or capped his literary career with the most intellectual of his output. No, Letters to Malcolm is subtitled chiefly on prayer. And these are the thoughts of this genius in childlike simplicity, thinking of being alone with his God. And I ask you, when was the last time that we were content with a satisfaction between God and myself? I can say that God knows. That's mature love. And may that be the love that prevail in this church. Let us sing our last hymn. How sweet and heavenly is the sight when those who love the Lord in one another's peace delight and so fulfill His word. May that be the love that pervades in the atmosphere of the brethren in this church. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, maraming salamat sa hamon ng halimbawa ni Apostol Pablo kung paano niyang pinairal ang pag-ibig sa kanyang motibo sa paglilingkod sa mga taga-Korinto. At ito ay pag-ibig na hindi nauudyukan lamang ng pagtugon ng mga tao, kundi pag-ibig na may maturidad na ang pangunahing pananagutan ay sa iyong harapan. At sana ito ang umiral na pag-ibig sa na namamagitan sa kapatiran ng iglesyang ito. Grant, Lord, that we may have that mature love which is able to serve and willing to serve even without appreciation. Indeed, this is a very challenging challenging situation when those we serve do not express appreciation, and yet where mature love governs our motive, even without that appreciation, we will seek to do good. We will seek to love, and we will seek to exercise true and render true service to those whom we love. So grant that we may have that mature love that is able to serve even without appreciation. So grant that we may have that spirit that is free of charge, that we are not asking for any reciprocation for what we do out of love. And may we also learn to be content upon divine approbation, that knowledge that you know what is in our heart, that you know our motives. May this, on the one hand, be a sobering thought that while we can hide our motive from men and women, yet our motive is ever exposed to you. And the particular motive you most especially note is the motive of love. So grant that it is that motive that we will be most constantly be reviewing and not just take for granted, rectifying, for we know that love can be so vulnerable to counterfeits, and refresh through communion with you and through the display of what Christ has done on the cross. And even tonight, as we have our Lord's Supper, here is a sacrament which is a golden opportunity for us to refresh our thoughts of the love of God displayed upon the cross of Christ. And may that be a challenge to us to love similarly, a love that is mature, a love that is accountable to God. And may your name be glorified in our midst as we exercise this love one to another. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.